Welcome to Chicana and Latina Moms Podcast. This is our podcast, un lugar donde hablaremos sobre la salud mental, cultura, como Chicanas and Latina Moms, la importancia de self-love, self-care, self-compassion, y el recordatorio que somos chingonas, y que esta es una revolución y una evolución para crear la mejor versión de nuestro ser. Because we can. Because calladitas, no more. You're listening to Chicana and Latina Moms Podcast. The content is not intended to replace or substitute for any professional counseling or therapeutic advice. Hola, Chicana and Latina Moms. ¿Cómo están? Espero que estén muy bien. Thank you so much for being here and choosing to click Chicana and Latina Moms Podcast. My name is Amapola Ramirez. I'm the creator and host. And I love this beautiful space in this podcast because I get to share with you all a little bit of my life growing up as a Chicana. And also provide, you know, knowledge and inspiration. And that's the goal as a therapist and as a mother. And, you know, I think we learn from all of us. Like, we all learn from one another. Even from that comadre or that whatever person that you dislike. Every single human being, we learn from one another. Some people might disagree with that, but because it's easier to say no. No, how can I learn from someone that I dislike? But if you really, you know, take the time to assess why that particular person triggers you, you will then understand where it's coming from. So I just had to say that because, you know, I think that when we don't like someone or someone doesn't like us, whatever it is, a trigger is always a reminder of something that you have not yet healed. And, you know, it's a little challenging to heal because no se ve tan bonito, but it is very, very doable to be at a space of peace. No más que sí, va a costar tu tiempo, how you are going to implement strategies and mindfulness and self-compassion, self-love and self-care towards you so that you can be able to navigate life. Life is beautiful and life can be a little bit unpleasant sometimes, right? But, you know, we're not the first human beings here in this planet. Right, we have our ancestors that have gone through things. And I think a lot of the things that we have now can simplify our life when back then they had to really, really struggle to get water, right? And you can just walk to your sink and just grab the water, and before they would have to walk to a river. So I think now we have a little bit more simplicity, thank God. But at the end of the day, there's all these factors in other eras where it's not that easy. But with that said, today I want to talk to you about family history of suicide and how many families who have individuals who've had suicide can be a trend within some families. You know, we always hear of like breaking generational traumas, and that is something that's very important to be able to break. So a family history of suicide can happen due to various factors, okay, including genetics, environmental, and any psychological influences. When it comes to genetics, there are some studies that do say that genetics play a role in suicide risk, and that definitely contribute to mental health conditions such as depression or bipolar or schizophrenia. which are known risk factors for suicide. And, you know, we are a reflection of many things, right? Our environment, our genetics, and the psychological influences that we have in our lives. So when a child, let's say when a child, excuse me, when a child grows up in an environment where suicide is normalized, or where there's a lack of emotional support, communication, or any type of mental health resources, that can definitely increase the suicidal behavior. So let's talk about, you know, how growing up for that child that I'm using as an example, that grows up hearing their family talk about suicide. When they talk about maybe a family member, like one, two, or three that passed of suicide, and they just, you know, they're hearing these conversations with these adults, and the child can start growing up, you know, and they're no longer in elementary, now they're in middle school and then high school, and they continue to hear that, yeah, that person committed suicide, is really unfortunate, you know, and they just kind of leave it as that. And there's not like, you know, more in-depth conversations. Like, there's no communication as to, like, you know, I want you to know, like, that parent in this example I'm trying to give does not take the time to talk to their kids to educate them that there's other ways to be able to help them if they ever feel sad, right? Or if they feel like they're just anxious, or they feel like they see shadows, because I see a lot of kiddos who have like severe anxiety or depression, and with time, they feel like they start seeing shadows, or they feel like someone's like behind them and stuff like that. So we need to talk to our kids about, like, okay, if you ever hear or see something that you feel it's like not there, or because a lot of the kids sometimes will, parents don't know this when they go see a therapist, which is okay. Now they're telling somebody else, right? But I know some parents, I'm saying this, and I think some parents might feel kind of like, oh my God, like, that's very uncomfortable, you know, but that's the reality. So I'm going to get to an example as to, maybe when you can say that, you know, when you see that your child is isolating, when your child is shutting down, when your child is not eating, they're having nightmares, they don't want to go to school, they lost interest in things that they used to like. That could be drawing, it can be reading a book, it can be like working out, whatever it is they no longer want to do, then it's kind of like those red flags that it's time to seek some help. If they're minors, I get it. Sometimes, you know, parents will force them to go to therapy, but the thing is that once they're there, they kind of appreciate it. Every child is different. So we don't want to normalize just like suicide in a family, right? It's just kind of a given. We don't want to say that if something goes down and you just don't feel good, like, you know, it's okay. It's your choice if you want to take your life. We don't ever want to say that. We don't. And we want to be able to provide that emotional support, right? Like validating them, reading their body language. A lot of the kiddos don't know how to express their emotions. So we want to be able to kind of like tell them, like, hey, I'm noticing that you're a little sad, frustrated. And if you feel that your child is not wanting to open up with you, then it's time to bring a professional in and to help you, right? To help you with their mental health. This is why they say it takes a village to raise a child, because part of that village is that one therapist that's in your community, right? To be able to help. We want to also make sure that there's communication. We don't want to just not communicate. I know life can be very busy. You can go to work, you can come home, cook, do the homework, and either be on TikTok or, like, you know, watch a movie or whatever. And then you don't, your child goes to sleep without you tucking them in. You know, you always want to tuck them in. You always want to make sure, you know, si los quieres persignar, if you want to tell them a positive, like, validation, if you want to process something that, you know, happened throughout the day, because there's a lot of kids that go to sleep with problems that they don't know how to solve themselves, and they need your support. So we want to be able to communicate with them, ask them open-ended questions. We want to make sure that that communication, it's kind of like, hey, I'm going to leave my door open. You know, like when bosses say my open door policy kind of thing, was the same thing as parents. You know, our door should always be open. I know that our bosses eventually close sometimes because, you know, meetings and stuff like that, and or they're not there. But us as parents, like, our door has to be opened all the time. And the only time I would say, let me take that back, not all the time. The only time that I would say it can be a little bit kind of like closed, because for them, you know, we're going to be available for them as much as we can, is when you do your self-care. And a lot of parents sometimes feel that guilt of like, I cannot do self-care because I feel like I'm neglecting my kids. And that's not the point of self-care. The point of self-care is for you to reset and to connect with yourself. That little girl in you that you've dismissed maybe for the last 3 months. That facial that you needed that you haven't done in 5 months. Little things like that. And you just either want to read your Bible or just read a good book, whatever it is. So you want to be able to communicate. It is not okay to just let our routine go without communicating and emotionally connecting with our kids. The environmental factors, obviously, for families who normalize suicide, like I said, there's no emotional support, there's no communication, or no access to, well, they could get access to, but they choose not to get mental health resources. And when they don't get that mental health resources, that can increase their suicidal behavior. So we want to be able to reach out to the school counselor. We want to be able to, you know, contact the health care insurance and really, really ask for that support. I know you guys, I know I've heard so many people say it's so hard to find a therapist. They don't call back. Please don't give up. Please don't give up. Every place is different. If you have Medi-Cal, you could always contact the Department of Mental Health in the city that you live in, and they will guide you. A lot of schools have funding, so they have a lot of school-based programs that mental health agencies go into the schools. So every school district is different, of course, and sometimes they get funding for through the state, I believe, excuse me, to be able to provide that support. The other thing about environmental factors that can also influence a child to commit suicide is traumatic events. Abuse, neglect within the family can also contribute suicidal tendencies. So if they have gone through any traumatic situation and they never received the help to be able to help them, you know, through that traumatic experience, and there's no emotional support, there's no communication, and there's no linkage to mental health services, that right there definitely is danger. So we want to connect with our kids emotionally. We want to hug them. I always say, if you have a teenager, you know, se presta, they're like, leave me alone. Don't let that stop you from hugging them. Don't let that stop you from hugging. Let them know, you know, please let me give you one hug a day. That's it. That's all I'm asking. And it could just be, you know, I mean, you say one, but little poco a poquito se van a estar prestando. And that's the goal. The psychological factors, this is where individuals may inherit certain personality traits or coping mechanisms from their family members. That can influence them, you know, to how to deal with stress, how to deal with a trauma, and how mental health challenges can occur. So let me explain with that. I'm so sorry, you guys. My throat is so dry right now. Y no tengo agua. I'm like, where's my water? Okay, so this right here means that if a child grows up seeing that you don't know how to manage your stress, they're going to imitate you. They're going to be all over the place as well. They're going to get stressed. You're going to get stressed. And it's going to be chaos in the home and everyone's going to be yelling at each other. And it can lead to physical abuse. The trauma can be, you know, believe it or not, I've had parents that will re-traumatize their kids so many times almost every single day because of things that they've gone through, and the parents just it because of their own personal traumas, they just say the unnecessary comments. It's really sad. And the mental health challenges is like, if you have a mental health diagnosis and you're not receiving the treatment, then that definitely impacts parenting. And you know, the child starts to learn that, oh, this is how my parent is. They're always yelling. There was a video that I came across on TikTok, and it was a male. I think he was like late 30s, and he was being interviewed in a podcast, and he pretty much said, for some reason, every single day of my life, I feel like I'm going to get in trouble. He said, I have felt like that since I was a little boy up to now. And then the co-host said, well, like, why? Why do you feel like you're going to get in trouble? I mean, are you really? He's like, I'm not. But I've been conditioned through my life to think that I'm always going to get in trouble. So sometimes kiddos grow up, they feel like my mom or my dad always yell at me to be a good listener, but they've conditioned me to just fear them. So we don't want that, right? So they suppress a lot of their emotions where they don't feel safe to share with you that they have a suicidal thought. And a lot of these kiddos will most come up to a parent or someone they trust to let them know they're not feeling well. And they're not gonna say, hey, I wanna commit suicide. They'll just be like, hey, I'm feeling sad and depressed. And I've had kiddos that unfortunately will not, their emotions get dismissed to where they just say, okay, they weren't able to help me, so I'm just gonna go ahead and do the attempt, and it's sad. It's sad to hear that for some, unfortunately, they end up losing their life, while others are like, nothing happened. So it's really sad, right? So we don't want to discourage seeking help. We want them to know the importance of asking help. And I think for us, like moms, somos chingonas, luchonas, but we also needed to model to our kiddos the importance of seeking help and how that can impact us in a positive manner, and how we can advocate. So if you ask for help and the first option doesn't work, it's okay. Keep going. Option two, option three. You know what I mean? It's just, and it can be frustrating sometimes, but not giving up, right? So we don't want to normalize that asking for help is only for weak people, and that's not true. And we want to show them that it's okay to ask for help, and sometimes it's okay to not be okay. We need to be able to tell our kids that. You know, many of us grew up not knowing what the heck anxiety was, depression, all of these, diagnoses that were like, whoa. But now that we are educating ourselves, right, in different areas, in different ways, now it's an important factor for us to educate our kiddos and letting them know what are some symptoms. Because if you've gone through it, letting them know this is what I have felt, and this is the type of help I'm receiving, so that I am able to live a peaceful life, right? So that's really important. The learned behavior, with children, they, like I was talking, like I was mentioning to you right now, that the coping strategies from us, the parents, or other family members play a very important role. If suicide or self-harm is used as a coping mechanism within a family, then unfortunately, it can increase, the likelihood of similar behaviors in future generations. So when a mother is anxious, so will the children be anxious, because they spend a lot of time with this mom who is unorganized, who procrastinates, and who is just all over the place. And so there's going to be times where that mom is not going to realize that their child has suicidal thoughts because there's no communication, there's no emotional support at times. There is and there's not. There is and there's not. It's like hot and cold. And so for most of you that maybe you can relate to this growing up, that hot and cold, you know, environment was very unpredictable. And you, at the end of the day, did not feel safe because you didn't know when was the right time to talk to your parent. Because if you did, it's like, ah, estás loca, da, 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 you know, es nada más huevonada, ponte a limpiar. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's not huevonada. Like, I have anxiety. Like, what the heck, you know? But we want to make sure to provide this space in our homes that mental health happens and that it's okay to ask for help. You know, so thinking of suicidal thoughts, I don't want to, like, I can kind of tell you, like, it's somewhat like, how can I explain it? Like, it happens. It happens to most people. And while some will just think it, ya se va el pensamiento, while others will keep it and will create a plan. Or some will sleep a lot, by the way, because they don't want to be in the present life. You know, so you want to be able to access mental health support, healthy coping mechanism, a strong social connection, community is very important, and a supportive environment that can play a very significant role in preventing suicide. So if you or someone you know is struggling with suicidal thoughts, seeking professional help is very crucial. So very, very important. And the number to call or to text is the number 988. 988. So if there is a person that does have a plan, then they will send someone out. But if they don't, it's just more processing, and that's what they'll help them to decrease the suicidal thoughts. So thank you so much for listening to me. Please share this episode with anyone that you think that might need it. And just know que no estás sola. If you feel like you're struggling with your child that is, you know, has a history of suicidal thoughts, just get help for him or her. Get help for yourself as well to learn how to help your child. Or if you are a mother who is struggling with suicidal thoughts, tu vida es preciosa. There's beautiful things in this life and you matter. And so do your kids and every single human being in this planet. But it is your responsibility to take that initiative to want to open your heart and your mind, because no one can do that for you. Thank you so much for listening and stay tuned for more. Adios. Gracias por escuchar. Thank you so much for tuning in to Chicana and Latina Moms Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Chicana_Latina Moms Podcast. And also, don't forget to leave a review. Gracias. Hey, my Chicana and Latina sisters, please do not forget to leave a review and give me your feedback. I would really appreciate it. This also helps other new listeners know what we're about. Gracias.